in Cattell with all these values of gamma and the effective masses. So here, the top number is the gamma value. And then the number in the middle is the gamma that would be if it was a free electron system. So you just take the electron density and you calculate what gamma should be if it was really a free electron system. And the number at the bottom is the effective mass. And the effective mass is sometimes a little bit bigger and sometimes a little bit smaller than the free electron mass. So here it's a little bit larger, and here it's a little bit smaller. But if you look around in the periodic table, it's not very far. For most of these metals, it's not very far from one. So here it's two. I don't know where the smallest one is. Maybe beryllium is 0.3. But it's almost right. And I can't explain this to you yet. But this concept of effective mass will carry over to problems where you apply an electric field. In some materials, the electrons go faster than others. It seems like they have different masses in the different materials. And they don't really have different masses. The electron always has the same mass. But it's the way the electron waves interact with the crystal give electrons in some materials respond and move more quickly than in other materials. And it can be that the electrons in a crystal move faster than free electrons. So in other words, the effective mass is less than one. So we won't get to this derivation for a while. And it seems odd at the discussion of specific heat to introduce an effective mass, because it doesn't really seem like there should be an effective mass. But it's a way to parameterize these deviations from the free electron model in the specific heat. And once you know more about how the electron waves move through a crystal, then it makes more sense to call this an effective mass.